I want to keep going, but we gotta go.
You go, man.
No, we gotta go.
No, you stop. And then you go.
And then we go.
Why don't you have socks on? It's like 3 degrees outside.
Because I went to the gym and I was real warm.
Nice. I did not, and I am not.
Nice.
Yeah, a chorus of nice.
Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are Cody, Sam, Jill, and Alex. This week we're here to talk about Vincent and the Doctor, written by Richard Curtis, directed by Johnny Campbell. Alex.
Yo.
What'd you think about this one?
This is one of those episodes that when you think of Matt Smith as the Doctor, this is one of those episodes to me.
Oh, yeah?
So good.
Jill.
I really liked it a lot. I'm curious to know how other, like, real Who fans liked it, because I don't think I'm a real Who fan. Because it's a lot of story and a little bit of monster. I liked that part of it.
Yeah, lots of people like this one.
Do they?
Yeah. That's
surprising. Yes.
Cody?
Yo.
This episode, same question.
This episode was good.
Sam?
Jake. Look at me, Jake.
Oh, I look.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Every episode leading up to this episode has been absolute filler.
Oh, man.
This is the greatest episode of all time.
Did you see bit stealing is illegal.
For anyone who's...
I was going to say copyright striking you.
For anyone new to the podcast, every time Cody loves an episode, that's how he starts his reaction, is say that every other episode was bullshit up until then.
No, but for real, my favorite episode so far.
Really?
It's really good.
Love it.
I cried.
It is a choice episode. Top five for sure.
I also love this episode. I also cried. I always cry. I wouldn't put it in my top up to where we're at so far. It wouldn't be in my top 10, but it'd probably be just outside of it.
There was something, there's something off about it. I don't know what it was, but there was something that I wanted more of. It felt so good the entire episode, and especially I want the Doctor to have an impact on history like this. In every episode.
Right.
That's like what I want to see.
A show about time travel, actually, yes. Just using time travel to tell a story.
Yeah. But he didn't really have an impact.
No.
On one person.
That's the part that I hated. Like, they had this great buildup, this great thing happened, and then ultimately it culminated into, like, just sadness again.
Well, that's why Amy was so sad at the end, is she said the same thing you just said. And the Doctor said, we added to the goodness.
Yeah, that was nice.
I think we want to see the Doctor impact more things like that. Like, we want to see it that Vincent doesn't commit suicide. But I think the impact of not having the monster in the painting is huge.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
He's like, corrected the timeline.
Right. And even just that painting, like, how many people have viewed that painting over time? And to have that impact is still something.
So you want him to Tarantino it and just be like, they actually did kill Hitler, or Charles Manson's family went to the wrong house and didn't kill what's her nuts in that movie. In the new one, the new Tarantino movie.
That was me.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
The Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's all about the Manson family. Or it's not all about, but they kill that actress that they killed, whose name I just can't remember, so the story sucks.
Nobody here will remember either. It's fine.
So in the Tarantino movie, he's just like, what if she didn't die? Isn't that fun? Because I made Inglourious Basterds and just decided to kill Hitler, and that was fine. So I'll just do whatever I want now.
That was a great movie.
That was a great movie.
I don't know. I wanted the big impact, too. I wanted Vincent Van Gogh
right.
to not die.
Oh.
But the big impact was him realizing that he wasn't a failure.
But the part that sucks is he did. He realized he is not a failure. His art is amazing. It's just so...
Well, they still, I don't know.
Depression's
still
a...
Still have depression.
It's a story about depression.
I was going to say, I would argue that the monster in the story isn't the monster, it's depression.
Right.
I would argue that the monster in the story is the monster.
Well, the monster in this is a metaphor for depression. It's a invisible, blind chicken monster.
That's just afraid. Oh my God.
Yeah, he's the only one that can see it.
I didn't get that until now. This episode just got way better. It was already my favorite.
Yeah. If we knew what the writer was thinking every single time, I bet every episode would be good. It's just it doesn't always translate into a great episode.
I don't know. I probably didn't equate that with a metaphor either, just a dumb chicken monster. But, like, thousands of other people did, people that are way smarter than me. So, it is there, you just have to be looking for it.
But then, metaphorically, Vincent killed his depression.
And he did, for an amount of time.
Right.
But not permanently.
How old was he?
37.
I was going to say 47.
Oh, so he went back, and then the next day, fucking...
They said that. That was his last year.
Yeah, I had a couple months. But yeah, it was in those last years of his life that he did like the most of his work. And like he did like 800 oil paintings and like 2,000 pieces of art.
Didn't Vincent cut off his ear?
Yeah, yes. Shortly after this. In a duel with his friend.
Whoa. Oh, he didn't cut it off himself.
No, he went mad and did it himself.
Oh.
He was, like, he was also fighting. He was crazy. I mean, I don't want to say he's crazy. Yeah. Before we move on, we're going to say Vincent Van Gogh and not worry about it.
Like, okay, good.
That's how it's always been said over here, anyway.
Well, there too. In the UK, I've never heard anyone say Vincent Van Gogh outside of this episode of Doctor Who.
I always thought Van Gogh was with a U, like G-O-U-G-H.
Wait, is not?
No, it's G-O-G-H, which makes more sense as to why it's Goff and not Go.
Right, and he's Dutch. He's from Holland, so...
Isn't that weird?
Oh, boy.
I do like that they have a Scottish actor, and he's just doing a Scottish accent. So when Amy talks, he says, oh, are you from Holland, too? Because the TARDIS is translating. Mm-hmm. Just a nice little fun joke in the story.
I was trying to figure that out. I figured there was like some sort of history thing where way back in the day... Scotland and Holland were the same place or something.
Like Pangaea.
Way back in the day.
I was going to kind of pull out the tweets a little early, just whenever everyone stopped talking, just kind of do it in the middle of the podcast instead of the end or the beginning.
I mean, that works.
Yeah, hit it.
Then everybody who listens just for their tweets can boogie out.
Nobody listens just for their tweets.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
I'm not even trying.
No, it seemed like you were trying so hard.
Gold.
Don't pass that off.
Not even trying.
Don't pass off your best effort as not trying.
From Captain Crinoid at DChilv, I tweeted out something like, tell me what you thought about the story, tell me what you thought about the ending. And Captain Crinoid says, beautiful directing, paying homage to Van Gogh's works. Also, such an emotional ending. Rob, at DeadRight24.
Rob, my boy.
Says, controversial, and I know I'm in the minority, but I am not a fan.
Rob, we're splitting ways. Oh, Rob, man. We're parting ways.
Rob, Cody's your biggest supporter here.
Unpopular opinion. Fuck.
I feel the invisible monster, and then in parentheses, I know it's a metaphor, but still... is cheesy and done a lot better in Classic Who. Rob's a big Classic Who fan, so he's always going to be comparing them, which you just can't help when you grow up with Doctor Who or watch Classic Who first. I find Van Gogh's actual life far more interesting, with many historians believing he was murdered due to the gunshot wounds. Many believing he was murdered due to the gunshot wounds placement. One of the teens that bullied him, owning the same gun as Van Gogh used to kill himself. And Van Gogh being a devout Christian who believed suicide was a sin. Van Gogh also had a history of covering for people who hurt him. On the positive side, it's well acted. I like when the Doctor has weird gadgets that they've made. Amy's still likable at this point. And Matt Smith is great. Yeah.
I mean, I agree with all that, but I didn't know anything.
I don't know a ton about Van Gogh. I did a bunch of wiki reading going into this, but he essentially shot himself like in the chest and missed everything. And essentially lived for like 30 more hours, then died of an infection because there was no surgeon in town.
Ooh.
But he like walked home and was like, yeah, they'll just, this is fine.
I killed myself. Haha. Covering for my friend who forgot to unload his musket before dual training.
I think it was a pistol. They sold that at an auction, the pistol that he used to kill himself, or that was used to kill him. It was like
$11 million.
No, it was like $450,000.
Oh,
really?
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
According to Wikipedia, who knows?
Fair enough. I suppose that's like an impossible to confirm thing, so that would make it cheaper.
Right, but there's a lot of just people studying the little bit you can know about Van Gogh for, you know, trying to determine if he killed himself or trying to diagnose him. I think the first therapist or psychologist that tried diagnosing him in the 30s kind of all agreed he had bipolar disorder. Some people have claimed other disorders, but I think bipolar is still kind of the prevailing.
So, I feel like they showed bipolar in that episode too.
Yeah, for sure.
What kind of guns did they have in that day? Was it musket, like rod packing, or did they actually have bullet and casings?
I'm pretty sure at this time Colt had a revolver, single action, where you have to pull back the hammer.
Yeah, that makes sense. 1890, yeah.
Yeah.
But would, I mean, this episode made it seem like he was a poor, struggling artist. So would a poor, struggling artist have a brand new Colt
45? He sold one painting to his sister's friend for the exact amount of a Colt revolver.
And guns were, you just grab one.
A sister of a friend.
There's just a bucket in the middle of town.
Oh, really? Oh, the bucket of guns.
The old gun bucket. Bucket gun. Every town has one. Just in case you need to get a varmint or that fucking guy that stuck you with the two aces at the bar. Yeah, get that bucket gun, boy George.
You'll be sorry when I come back with the bucket gun.
Joke's on you. I already have the bucket gun. Pulls the bucket gun out from his bag.
We got more tweets?
Yeah, so there's one thing I want to say. Rob said that he liked the contraption the doctor uses. I don't like that because the doctor didn't make it in the episode. It's just kind of a...
It was a gift from his aunt with two heads who had bad breath.
But it's just like, oh, I have something that'll totally help us in this story. And he just goes and grabs it out of a box.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the most deus of ex machinas.
I just thought it was hilarious that he hated it. He's like, now I get it.
Right.
How would you not find a use for that all the time?
Well, but, he, you know, he's a Time Lord. He knows all things. And...
That's true.
He, like, I guess if he can see it. If he can't see it, then he's kind of screwed.
But his aunt was a Time Lord, too.
Godmother.
Godmother?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know about the aunt thing.
Yeah, Godmother could be any species, just some lady. True. That.
Well, she had two heads.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
she was one of those things
from the angel planet.
Yeah, episode, yeah.
Yeah, his quote about her is in my favorite lines, where he's like, she had bad breath twice.
That's funny.
Is that twice total ever in her life?
No, that's because she has two heads.
Oh, that makes sense.
I do always like, even though I've never watched like the original Doctor Who, when they do like a callback to that, so it's fun to like see him step in the mirror and then the old faces print out from the
OG
doctors.
That was super cool. And it was the first Doctor.
That's right.
I think it was first and second, right? There's a couple.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was cycling through them, yeah.
What a waste of ink. What a waste of TARDIS ink.
TARDIS ink.
Alex, give me that Miss McCrimmon theme song.
Mrs. J. McCrimmon, it's been about a minute since you've given us a tweet.
Well, about that, last time, her tweet starts with, oh, so I've actually seen your post in time this time. When we record our last one, she tweeted about 12 hours later saying, am I too late?
Yes. Oh,
no. You're never too late, Jay. Always give us your ideas or thoughts or whatever.
She says, there's a wonderful aesthetic to this episode, obviously inspired by Van Gogh's art. I love when the show does things out of the ordinary like this. Think Unicorn and the Wasp being structured like an Agatha Christie novel. There's one shot in particular of Vincent's bedroom that is just the painting of Vincent's bedroom. Like, everything's exactly where it's supposed to be. That's really fun. I always enjoy the silly joke when they first meet. Oh, we already talked about this. Where they, Amy and Vincent first meet and have the same accent, so he assumes she's from Holland. Tony Cran is fabulous as Vincent. I often feel uncomfortable with historical figures in Who because I don't believe or feel it. She believed him from the start. The Crephasis, of course, is besides the point. It's about what it represents, depression, something that looms in the shadow, invisible and also blind, causing destruction and damage with no rhyme or reason. I know most people rave slash cry at the final scene. To be honest, this doesn't get to me. What gets to me is when the doctor comes to Vincent's room and tells him it's in his experience that there's always hope, and Vincent says his experience is incomplete. This scene is depression.
That was a very good scene.
And she went to the Musée d'Orsay and can confirm that there is no more Crephasis in that printer, in that painting.
Ooh.
Nice.
Where is that?
She showed me a picture.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
The Musée d'Orsay?
No.
France.
It was Paris. Yeah. When they got out with Vincent, it's like, where are we? He's like, we're in Paris, France.
And then they went inside. Okay. 2010. So there's a Vincent van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, and now I want to go to Amsterdam just because of this episode. Must be. Hmm.
The museum they actually used to shoot this was the Roald Dahl Museum.
Ooh. Because
apparently Roald Dahl is from Cardiff.
Oh, that's
so neat. They couldn't even get into the actual place. Fucking, I hate this episode. Bullshit. Well,
because this was directed by Johnny Campbell, who also directed Vampires in Venice, they shot these back to back. All the exterior stuff was shot in Croatia, because that's where they shot Vampires in Venice.
That's where the tax breaks are.
Is the last scene really what gets everyone with the sunflowers?
No.
No,
no, him standing and looking at
his okay,
stuff.
I was like, that's the scene.
They say the scene
at the end because they go there, have that moment, bring him back, and then they go immediately back there, and then
but the very Amy final, the very final one is the sunflowers.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean the Bill Nye scene. So you were saying, Alex, that you you think of this story when you think of Matt Smith's Doctor Who.
I do.
I don't really rewatch this one. Not for really any reason. If I am doing a season 5 rewatch, I kind of just do the Stephen Moffat stories. But I do watch that scene of Bill Nye doing that speech probably once a month on YouTube.
Is that guy's name actually Bill Nye?
Bill Nye.
Nye. Okay, yeah. I heard it twice. I was like, I gotta ask.
I did do.
That was the guy who I thought was Jeffrey Rush. I confused the two.
He was the vampire king in Underworld, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was also...
And Jeffrey Rush was Captain Barbossa.
Barbossa. And he was also the depth guy, Pirates of the Caribbean, with the squid face.
Oh, yeah. They are both in that. but, yeah. Oh. Jeffrey Rush is Australian.
Ah. Yeah. Jeffrey Rush was Barbossa, and he was...
So, yeah. The main setting of this is the 1st through 3rd of June, 1890, in France. Hmm.
So, he's...
Davy Jones.
All yeah, right. There you go.
I figured it out. That was bugging me.
All right, I'm pulling an Alex.
What up? And did you almost do something?
I almost looked into the whole hearing and colors thing. Because when I
moved your sweater away from the microphone.
I can't. What's it called?
Synesthesia.
That like...
Synesthesia?
We had to do some studying on that in school, and it's, like, insane. It really super messes with people. And a lot of times that in itself, like, not that it can cause mental disorders, but really, like, if you hear in colors, like, your world is insanely different.
Well, and the way that he described it in this episode, he walks outside and the world is yelling at him to, like, come and experience, which, man, I can't imagine that. That'd be nuts.
I did psychology in college, and or that was my major, and like people with synesthesia are what everyone's psych studies are about.
absolutely.
The big one is math people who see numbers as colors. Mm. Like people who are just like math geniuses usually will have some form of synesthesia where they interpret the numbers kind of combining differently than normal people do.
So speaking about the hearing color part, one of my favorite scenes was when they were laying out in the field and he explains how he can see the stars moving and how this area is dark blue and then there's a lighter blue into the blackness and the way that they artistically did that was beautiful.
Like you're talking the CG, right?
They essentially make the Starry Night painting. Then you see like how he sees, like that's how
amazing.
It's not just like a fun painting, it's how he really sees things.
I was disappointed that just for Who fans who have seen that painting, a lot of times the TARDIS is hidden in it. That's obviously just for Who fans.
Well, you can.
So I really wish he would have seen the TARDIS because he never. Oh, he did. He saw the outside. Just kidding.
He was in it.
He traveled. You're right. Yeah.
He went to 2010 France, Paris.
I was waiting. Also, that makes him a companion. I was waiting.
Fight me.
I was waiting for them to put that in, like in the episode. So I guess it makes it cooler that it wasn't directly. It's just there.
Yeah.
But I was so glad to see that scene finally because I've seen that print
the swirly,
8 million thousand times with the TARDIS in it.
Don't we have that in the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sam. I have right here, Vincent telling them how he sees things is my favorite scene. And then the next line is, never mind, Vincent in the museum is the best scene.
Yes, agreed.
True.
Museum best scene, explaining second best scene. Episode best episode. Podcast over.
I do, to get into the story a little bit, I do really like the pre-credit or pre-title sequence where it's just Amy and the Doctor just kind of traveling like, oh, let's go to this museum in Amy's time for whatever reason. And then just them looking around and having a good time and then the Doctor being like, ah, fuck, there's something wrong. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
and then...
That was a fun way to start it.
I love the urgency in that it's life or death. We gotta go, but it's a time machine. Like,
right?
There's really
no time. We gotta leave right now.
Yeah, it's funny.
And he landed in the right place and the right time.
Yeah, he asked the guy. He's like, "When was this made?"
Without long explanation.
Has Matt Smith been wrong yet?
What do you mean wrong?
Yeah, the whole first episode years with late, Amy
picking up Amy.
Ooh, right?
Yeah. The girl who waited.
And also, we were kind of right because. It was basically a love story between Vincent and Amy. And they could have what did they call it? The ultimate ginge.
The ultimate ginge. 12 ultimate ginges.
Yeah. They were gonna
bone. It was getting aggressive.
It was gonna get... I'm gonna need to paint a lot of paintings for this week, honey.
So the Doctor casually calls Vincent Rory at one point.
Right.
Yeah, backtracks.
Which and we then also said.
It never comes back again, which is really annoying. Are they just going to keep dropping Rory in?
Well, he's been running around with two people for however long, and now he's just running around with two people. Amy, Rory.
But he's not a moron. I'm just annoyed that was dropped in so soon. And then having Amy be like, what? Never mind. And then there's like no talk about it, nothing at all.
But then we had the scene where they're walking outside and she's like, hey, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. And then he said something like, I can hear the song of your sorrow. And then she's like, what are you talking about? It's like, you're sad.
Oh, with Vincent.
I can understand that you're sad. And I get it. And then he walks away and she's like, I'm not sad. He's like, well, then why are you crying? And then she was crying.
Didn't he say that she had lost somebody?
Yeah.
He says, yeah, you
had. And so that was all alluding to the whole Rory thing. So it's there on some level.
It's going to come back.
I feel like this is the downfall of Amy. Like, she's over this is super exciting and fun and we just do fun things all the time and realizing what it actually means to be a companion. And this is just getting there more and more.
I'm now realizing that the Doctor super fucked up Amy's life.
Right?
From beginning
to now.
Probably, all the way to like, the
forever.
End.
Is there any wonder why the night before her wedding, she just tries boning down on him in her bedroom? Because she's completely fucked in the head.
Well, and she said no to Vincent, so... I don't know.
Not a harlot. Just also, jump on anybody.
I feel like it would have changed time. Like, that's not something you can just do.
If it were Rose, she would have been there for days.
When they were hardcore.
Jackie.
Flirting definitely. In the beginning, Cody's like, didn't her fiance just die? I was like, yeah, but she doesn't remember. He forgot.
As we said last week, Amy's a virgin now. She doesn't, she doesn't remember.
Never has banged, never has kissed man.
Well, she never has banged because she's a Christian and she's saving herself for marriage.
No, I'm calling it. She banged Pretty Boy. She had to have. Before her and Rory got together, for sure. For sure.
That thought. That.
You want some time alone?
That.
Time alone with that thought?
No, thought.
Thought, T-H-O-T, that hoe over there.
I don't know what you guys are saying. I'm the same age.
It's 2019. Get with the memes.
Oh, fuck.
No.
Begone. Begone, thought.
Oh, so we were talking about, what was the name of the monster? I forget the name of it.
Grafaeus.
So I actually paused it and wrote out what the machine said it was. And as we were talking about it being a metaphor for depression, that's kind of interesting now that I'm looking back at it. Nomadic pack animal, strict. I wrote down dom hierarchy. I think I was trying to hyphenate or shorten. Is it dom? What's
probably dominant?
Dominant hierarchy. Okay. Huge territory, several solar systems wide. Planets with oxygen and nitrogen. Oh, that's kind of interesting.
I mean, that's kind of neat.
It's like
the doctor really touched on like what they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says in the story that they will often leave someone behind because they're pack animals, but they won't hesitate to just like fuck off.
Yeah.
And if you get left behind, they're like, sorry, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so like all over the universe, there's these places where there's just like one of them alone.
Just killing things.
But because they're blind and alone.
Are they all blind?
I thought
just this one was blind.
Maybe, I don't know. But again, alone.
Like, that's why I got left.
It's a pack animal that's by itself, so it's not killing with like murderous intent. It's just like freaking out.
Right, yeah.
It's afraid. It told us.
Yeah.
A couple times. Thanks for throwing that in there.
Yeah, the doctor just had to translate.
Yeah, couldn't translate to that. I'll kill you. I'll kill you all. Doctor just had to let everybody feel that feeling.
I do have one last note on here that might get me canceled. But Amy looks amazing this episode.
You're canceled.
Yeah,
she really does.
I don't remember.
She had shorts with stockings.
So yeah.
Is that what they're called?
I just mean like her face and hair. I don't know if it's because they were.
No, it's real.
I don't know if it's because they were like really outside or what, but I thought she just looked cool.
Was her hair curled?
Yeah, wavied.
Her hair was modulated.
And she had a jacket.
It's because she's finally single. She's trying.
Yeah. Ooh. We like jackets here in the Married to Who podcast.
Yeah, we do.
Bring me those jackets.
So they called the hair orange at one point and red at one point, which kind of. Yeah. Welcome to Ginge Nation. What, are they redheads or are they orange?
It's like a reddish orange.
All of the above.
Someday when I have a ginger baby. Redheads because they didn't have a word for orange originally. And that's why they're all called redheads. But then we came up with the color orange, but now we just still call them redheads.
There's a fruit that's orange. How did we come up with the word orange?
Named the fruit, and then that's how we got the color.
Technically.
There's no way we had the word, like the phrase redheads before oranges were eaten by humans.
Technically, where, not orange, right? Like it's a curacao. And then we called it an orange because it's orange. Because
it's orange.
Is that actually what it's called?
Don't quote me.
I'm quoting you.
But yes.
This is recorded.
That's why blue curacao is orange liqueur. Can you a carousel?
Can you clip that and then play it back in the recording? That'd be hilarious. Don't quote me and then play his own quote.
In fact, you should clip that don't quote me and just precede everything I say with that.
Don't quote me.
I talk out my ass. I'd bank on it. I wouldn't die on that hill, but I'd believe it.
You put $10 down.
I'd put $10 down.
Yeah. All right.
So something I thought was pretty neat about this episode. Said, of course, the doctor. So they started out, doctor sees the monster in the painting. We need to go back immediately, blah, 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 whatever, that whole thing. And then, of course, eventually they find the monster. And he can see it with his little contraption. But otherwise, like, it's not really anything he can take on. And even in the battle, like, he's pretty much helpless against the monster.
Yeah, he's just swinging it around.
Right.
Yeah.
And then tries to use his sonic, which I thought was hilarious, and the sonic fails.
Well, but did you notice he said the Sonic never fails, and then it failed
totally
on him?
Failed. Yeah. But I like that he became like a supporting person, and often he does, but especially in this case, like he needed to be the support and let Vincent fight the monster on his own. So I like that aspect of it.
That was super cool.
It was actually kind of like the comedic relief of the episode. Saying the doctor just was. Like find a corner yeah. and swing a stick.
Yeah.
Be gone, Krafus.
I thought you were gonna say thought again.
I was really thinking about it.
Okay. So wait, I Googled redhead versus orange and Amy came up as the first picture. And it says
I think your phone just knows you.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. The short answer is that redhead was coined as a term long before the orange came around. But there's more to it than that. By the time orange did come into use, everyone was already saying redheads to describe people with orange hair.
Weird. And I Googled etymology of orange and the fruit was called orange before the word was ever used to describe a color.
Told you.
Whoa. Really? Crazy.
Yeah. So the
I suppose they couldn't have gotten the color out of the fruit. Like, they couldn't make the color. Like,
it's not a natural color.
Well, it so is. It, but you can't, like, I put mean, it on clothing.
Like, for dyeing. Yeah.
Orange
yeah.
is natural.
It was first used in English in the 1300s, came from Old French. And that came from Persian and Sanskrit for naranga, meaning orange tree. But it, and then from there, they don't know where it came from. It might come from a Dravidian word meaning fragrant. Wasn't used to describe the color for another 200 years.
In this episode, I thought the doctor was going to do a lot more for Vincent than what he did. Like,
really?
He had his like moment with him. It was like, you need to have hope for the future. That like that whole speech happened. But outside of that, there was nothing else. Like, as Vincent is sharing with the doctor how people always leave and he just gets sad all the time, the doctor just kind of goes, yeah, and then hugs him.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't really say anything. But I have a theory. I was wondering, because the doctor did mention, he said it's really risky working this close to Vincent in this time of his life, because anything they do could just paintings could just not exist anymore. And
well, he specifically in that moment meant that the Krafus right. could kill him.
But I was also wondering it could be the opposite. If he really did help him, there could be a lot, like maybe he doesn't kill himself. There could be a lot more paintings and then something unforeseen could happen that the doctor doesn't know about. So I was wondering like what you guys think. Do you think he was kind of withholding help and just more being a friend than like a psychiatrist or anything to not throw off the time the other way? You know what I'm saying? Did I describe that right?
Yeah. See, I'm going to go with option C on that one. And I think the doctor has done this song and dance a number of times in his life that he's like, nothing I'm doing here is going to matter.
I think the doctor could have done something that would have mattered, but his death is a fixed time. The doctor knows it's going to happen.
That would go against the general theme of this story, which is that you can't cure depression by making someone happy for a minute.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that. I was just saying,
apart from giving him antidepressant drugs that wouldn't be invented for another 60 years.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot that was going to save Vincent locking him up or something like that.
Maybe. So I didn't think about the Krafus as like a metaphor until we started this, and I've just been pondering it. But the Krafus, as they describe it, is like a thing that wants to live in a group or be a part of a group and is now separated, and that's why it's angry and mad and whatever.
Oh shit, that's a lot like...
I feel like the monster is more Vincent than... I don't know.
Yeah, because when the doctor said, we'll be out of your hair this time tomorrow, that's when he went into an episode in his room.
Yeah.
So he just wants to be part of a group. Why not bring him along?
Make him a companion.
Just make him a companion.
Could have saved him.
The doctor, Amy, and the Krafus.
Yeah.
But it's still Vincent. The work that he's yet to do changes the world. Mm-hmm. And so right. he still needs to do all that.
But then, does he also need to succumb to depression and die?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
So that's what I was. That's what I was thinking. Is like that is a fixed point because the doctor knows about it, and that's what we've talked about in this podcast. Right.
Yeah.
But so he doesn't want to help or try and not make that event not happen.
I think in that specific moment you're talking about, the doctor just knows what is wrong with Vincent, and that him just being like, there, buddy, isn't going to do anything. And so he's just like, okay, all I can do is just like give you a hug and mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
It was a super good scene. I like, again, crying. It was just like an interesting thought that popped in my head. I was like, oh man, what if it's like the other way?
I really enjoyed how they worked in a lot of his artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how they were like, oh, let's go to the cafe that has this orange light. And mm-hmm. she's like, oh, you mean this one?
Yeah, she's
like
got has that a book, booklet yeah.
of it. And there it is. How they were laying in the grass and worked in the Starry Night photo. How the story of how the sunflower photo came to be. I just, that was all very amazing to me. And I'm not a huge fan of his work, but this episode made me want to buy a piece just to have it in the house because of the emotional connection and everything right. through it.
Gonna have to work a lot of overtime.
They sell them on Wayfair for like $35.
But like, we don't do fake art up in here.
And oh also,
the, oh, that kitchen
the picture
piece,
that we have upstairs in our dining room is a knockoff of one of his art pieces.
Oh, nice.
And it made me it like it even more. Yeah. yeah.
Ooh,
I don't have a lot to say about this episode.
The song when they brought Vincent to the museum.
Cody pointed that out.
I was like, "Yo, legit music. This is what's gonna
what's the guy's name? Golding, something.
Wait, what?
Who's the
Murray
Gold? Murray Gold is a normal music guy.
Oh,
he's going a little contemporary, bringing in something that he didn't do, obviously.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, that was really cool. I loved the, like the tone it gave that scene.
Yeah,
super great. And then also just the music in general in this episode was really good.
Perpetually, I highly doubt there will be an episode where the music direction is not outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Super good.
None of this can be used. There's just toilets flushed in the background and shit.
I don't remember this line. The doctor says. And Picasso, what a ghastly old goat. I keep telling him, concentrate, Pablo. It's one eye, either side of the face.
Oh,
that's, so that's when they're outside.
Yeah.
Vincent's painting the church.
Yeah.
And the doctor just cannot sit still. So he just keeps talking, like spinning around him. And Amy keeps telling him to shush.
Is this how time normally passes?
Right.
Really slowly.
And in order.
And in order.
Or the correct order or something like that.
For the Sistine Chapel. Look, if you're scared of heights, you should have taken the job then. God, that it was really funny.
Yeah,
that
was great. Yeah, there was a pack of good lines in that one.
That was nice.
Matt Smith and Karen Gillan are both great in this. I mean, they're outshone by
Steve Caron.
Steve
Caron. Tony Caron.
Oh,
I was Curran. So close.
I will never believe you on a name.
You should believe me. I am
Don't
right.
Do it.
Like 13% of the time.
Amy clearly. In her own mental illness and how the doctor has fucked her up, did not go to university because she does not understand depression at all. This entire story.
I usually find all my quotes on IMDb, but they don't have the one that I want about carving out the paint.
Alex, MVP theme song. Alex, who's your MVP?
Vincent.
The actor? Tony Caron?
Steve yes. Caron.
I'm doing the actor.
Jill.
You're doing the actor?
Obviously, Tony Caron is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Who's the writer?
Richard Curtis.
Mm.
Don't like that name.
Dick Kurt.
Dick Kurt.
Yes.
Dickie might be. I really, really, really like the music again.
Yeah.
But I can't give it to Murray Gold 8,000 times in a row, but I can.
You can. Yes, you can.
So
you
I will.
Absolutely can.
Murray Gold.
Because he's got plenty of shitty episodes, too.
Time to shine.
It's amazing. There's just such nice contrast.
Mm-hmm.
So much lead up.
Preach.
The music. Yeah, that's it.
Cody.
You know who doesn't get it? Lighting. You know who does get it? The writer. Writer is super good.
Razor Curtis?
Yep.
What do you have against the lighting?
Every fucking scene is so unbelievable in town because they're casting like 8-foot shadows from a like 600 watt lamp shooting at them from like a 30 degree angle from the ground.
They're trying to get that weird elongated.
They're trying
look.
To make it look like his paintings.
Yeah.
No.
They are.
No. They're in a studio. There's nowhere
no,
to
they're
raise
in Croatia.
The light. fuck that. They're not in Croatia. There's no way.
Yeah.
They're when they're at that cafe.
Okay, it's my turn.
Yeah.
No, you shut up.
Well, the cafe was built.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, but on a cobblestone street in Croatia. Yeah,
it was a cobblestone street in Croatia, like, but
just,
it was
they just had to build the patio with the chairs on it and the overhang.
Yeah. Oh, the lighting's got me fucked up. I don't like it.
But yeah, she holds up the painting. It looks exactly
like it. So who's your MVP then?
That makes sense. The writer.
Oh, the writer. Okay.
Sam.
Tony Curran?
Yep.
Curran?
Vincent.
I would give it to Tony Curran, but because of, I think all the actors did a really good job, I'll go with Richard Curtis also because he gave all of them stuff to do. And
I want to throw a an MVP shout out to the staging crew to make those like painting shots.
Honorable mention.
Very true.
Like honorable mention, the camera work, the staging crew to do that. That was really good.
Well, we'll go with the director then, Johnny Campbell.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vampires of Venice did look awesome.
It really did, yeah.
And those are his only two. No more from Johnny Campbell.
Really? Yeah. Why? Bring him back.
Probably went on to somewhere where they pay you.
He was good.
This is the BBC. It's a government funded Alex.
Sounds like static.
Yo.
Give me that fun fact theme song.
Give me that fun. Give me that fun fact.
I think he just fucking made fun of you. He just straight up called you out.
He wouldn't dare.
He's right, I wouldn't dare.
Okay, it was the only episode since 1963 to end on a cut to black. Also, a message and phone number for the BBC Action Line was broadcast following the Next Time trailer for those wanting more information on issues raised in this program.
Oh. So they're doing what was that song the rapper had the song like the title of the song was like the helpline.
Oh right, yeah, it was 1-800
Druidia
depressed. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't think of it.
Who's the artist?
Well, it's Logic.
Logic, yeah. Yeah, he had that song. So that's kind of a similar deal. They're just using their art to promote awareness. Yeah. That's cool.
They do that a lot on current television.
Oh, yeah.
I watch a lot of crap TV, and they're always like...
I'm sure, like, every episode of Chicago Med.
Grey's Anatomy, every single episode.
Right.
What's the suicide one on Netflix? 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah. Oh,
they
sure.
always have a Ooh. Number on that one.
They did that yep. one after the fact, though. They were like, check out our show. Everybody's like, yo, 12 people killed themselves. Maybe put a disclaimer.
Well, there's a disclaimer, but then they also have, like, one of the actors... stopping and talking just like on what's the pregnant show on MTV 16 and pregnant. At the end they're always like, if you want to learn more about safe sex, go to www.whatever.com.
go to your mom, leave me alone.
Just to try and prevent
talk to your
mom. I think it's cool, bring like up the conversation. People using their art to raise awareness and help people, like that's just cool.
Starting shout out a conversation. Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Cody?
Shout out to Ashton Kutcher.
For
he the does ranch? Well, no, he does
yeah.
amazing stuff for human trafficking. Like crazy right.
yeah.
amounts.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Yeah. I only ever hear awareness. His wife talking about it because she's been on a lot of podcasts lately. But and I still haven't watched his Hot Ones that just came out.
It's but either. You have really seen good. The ranch, yeah. right?
No.
Yeah, right.
Jill loves The Ranch.
I need to watch it. It's I haven't seen it. Good garbage TV. I
love it's not bad. There's I wouldn't call
much,
it garbage.
There's too much good TV for me to go find some garbage to watch.
I wouldn't call it garbage. It's all right. It's all right.
I go through and look at the actors, see if they've been in Doctor Who before, or Harry Potter, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, or Black Mirror.
Ooh.
Obviously, Bill Nye is Rufus Grimjaw in Harry Potter. He's also been in a billion video games and has 148 Wait, acting credits.
Still
on
heard
IMDb.
Bill Nye.
Rufus Scrimjaw.
Bill the High.
The
Please
second
keep up.
Minister of Magic after the first one dies. What's the first one called?
He's got a great voice.
Fudge? Like, Cornelius Fudge?
Yeah.
The
I was,
video
I was
game.
Looking for Corny. Because I
Corny.
The video game credits, I understand that because he's got a great voice.
He
yeah,
does.
For sure. Tony Curran isn't in any of the things I look for, but he is in the Marvel Universe 3 times. He's
what?
A character named Finn in one episode of Daredevil. He plays Boar, uncredited, in Thor the Dark World, along with former Dr. Christopher Eccleston. And he's in X-Men First Class as Man in Black Suit Agent.
Nice.
A lot of qualifiers there.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, suit. That suit's black. He's an agent.
I haven't seen Thor. What was that one? The
Thor Dark World?
The Dark World.
The bad one?
Yeah, Chris, it keeps coming up.
It's like, bad.
There's a... That's why I haven't you guys it. Can't watch it because there's spoilers, but Christopher Eccleston did a one-on-one chat at New York City Comic Con, and he talks about this, and he's like, it was pretty bad. And he's like, no, I shouldn't say that. I know some I know there are people that like that movie, and then like a whole bunch of people cheered, and he's like, and now we'll move on. He's like, I don't want to talk about it. But I guess like he was like 7 hours of makeup a day, and they didn't tell him that when he took the job.
Oh no.
Who did Tenet play?
Eccleston.
Who did Eccleston
he's
play?
He's the bad guy.
Wait. Eccleston?
He's the main bad
The main
elf.
Bad guy in Thor the Dark World.
Yo. Yes. Yo. Now I'm watching it.
Watch it.
Do it.
It's not that bad.
It's my boy.
It's not that good, but
it's not as good as the rest of
it's
the
not
Marvel
Ragnarok.
Movies.
Well, I mean, he starts by saying like the third Thor movie is great. Like
yeah,
that's such
it's
a great
really
Ragnarok.
Good.
Like, that's
it's
how
so
he starts.
Good.
Yeah. So good.
But yeah.
Best movie.
You guys can't watch that because there's some spoilers for the future.
Wait, and Thor?
No, in this New York City Comic Con.
Oh, okay.
They talk
but
about
it's
Dr.
really
Beach.
Cool. So yeah. He's the reason he's there is because he wrote a book talking about, because he just came out and said that he has like eating disorders. And
oh, shit.
During his time on Doctor Who, he was like really struggling with mental health and anorexia.
Mm. Well, he got help. That's good.
Yeah, but he left too early because of it.
Well, he left because he
the director,
hated
right?
making, well, just the whole production. He really had. He'd say he loved doing it, and he loved the, or they asked him like kind of what his favorite episodes to shoot were, and he said the Moffat one. He's like, I think Moffat's a fantastic writer, and then like did not say anything about Russell T. Davies. Just like, I got a kind of long thing here I pulled off of Wikipedia about Vincent. We've already gone through some of it. In just over a decade, he created 2,100 artworks, including 800 oil paintings, most of which were from the last 2 years of his life. He was not commercially successful, and his suicide at 37 came after years of mental illness and poverty. There's been debate as to what his mental illness was. We already talked about that. His last words were, "The sadness will last forever."
Oh, my God.
So that's the end of fun facts.
Oh my God. Give me the fun facts. Fun facts. Give me the fun facts.
Killing yourself, and then just eventually your paintings become the most popular paintings.
Because
in the world.
When you put pain and torture into your.
That is true.
Don't just quote the fucking episode.
No, but that was true.
But it's what Bill Nye says. When that, he used his pain to express beauty.
And joy.
Nobody ever did that.
When I heard that line, I immediately thought of music because like I gravitate to really like emotional, heavy music, and that is kind of
with
like a
sick
similar
drum
thing.
Lines.
No. There's like chill stuff that's really engaging as well. Like it's just very emotional stuff, and they're just going off on it. But yeah, I don't know.
The song that immediately comes to mind is the one you guys have been listening to. The Where it just drops into this heavy, like, die, motherfucker, die.
Yeah, that's just so good. It just
what song is that?
It gets. It's called Drugs by Falling in Reverse.
Oh, that one, yeah.
But, yeah, that's just, I don't know. That's the masculine that you need to go to war and bang on your shield kind of.
Recently, I've been working through NF's recent album.
Fucking NF. Mm, yeah. Oh,
like,
my
that's,
God.
Like, the music version of. What,
this episode,
yeah. What that line was about.
That's emotion as music for sure.
Crazy.
For real. This is real music.
Alex, you have favorite line, theme song.
Who's got the favorite lines? Who is your favorite line?
Who is your favorite line?
Yeah, like who said it?
How about what?
Whatever,
what
man.
What is your favorite?
Continue.
Who has your favorite line?
I don't do retakes on my songs. Fuck y'all.
Jake, keep that one off the keyboard. We don't need that one.
We're not soundboarding his songs.
No, we have a keyboard. We have one.
You Alex, you have to go first. What's your favorite line?
Oh.
You didn't know we were doing this? You sang the song.
Surprise.
Yeah, but I'm first.
Be proud of him. He had his favorite
character.
Well, he just has MVP. A line figured out. That's amazing in itself.
Okay, I have two of them.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe three. Hold on. So right away, Doctor saying Ministry of Art and Arty Things when he's like flashing that paper.
Why does that freaking paper work everywhere?
It's psychic. Are people
like, Ministry of Art and Arty Things sounds like a not real thing, even though I see it on your certificate.
He just Idiots. Interrupted a tour. He wasn't like breaking into the Kremlin.
Still, if I was that tour person,
there
like,
was
nope,
one place that didn't
false.
Work.
Yeah, Torchwood.
There was another place that didn't work.
Oh, it was, there was a couple places. It was
Vampires it was pretty recently. So the Vampires of Venice, that's what it
the
was.
The rich dude where they had the ball of Daleks, it didn't work there either.
That's Torchwood. That the rich dude.
No, it was the rich guy that had all the shit. Was that Torchwood?
Yeah, it wasn't that story. It was the last one of that season.
Oh.
Or no, it was the next season.
Okay.
But the same kind of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's your quote?
Anyway, so there's only two. That was the first one. The second one was Amy at the end when Vincent was asking her again to stay and have babies. And she said, I'm not really the marrying kind. Bah, I thought bah. That Ooh, was Ferrari. Interesting.
Rip Rory.
Man, she's
never stood a chance.
I think that says something towards Rory that he was such a person that she decided to marry him.
Yeah, without Rory existing, she's not the marrying.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
All right, that flips it real hard because we were all on like she hates Rory.
Yeah,
she is not a good match for Rory, and I was kind of feeding into that, but that makes sense that now Rory doesn't exist. She's just not going to marry anyone.
She only
that's
loves
really
Rory.
Cool.
She's got
Jill. You got any lines to nominate?
The line I wrote down was not a favorite by any means, but the most impactful when Vincent says,
"And when you leave, and everyone always leaves, I will be left once more with an empty heart and no hope."
Whoa.
It's just, I mean, it encapsulates the whole episode.
That was when he said we're going to be leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
And really should have seen it coming that like you couldn't change the timeline.
That's just
that
really
point.
Good writing like for that. Oh, man.
So not a favorite, but a most impactful.
Right. Cody said you don't have any.
Well, I mean, I didn't write anything down, but it's too long anyway. My favorite line is Bill Nighy's monologue. You know what monologue, because it's the best line.
It's in here you want to hear it.
I've got it right here. Okay. But yeah, I'll put it in, but it's...
To me, Van Gogh is the finest painter of all. Certainly the most popular great painter of all time. The most beloved. His command of color, the most magnificent. He transformed the pain of his tormented life into ecstatic beauty. Pain is easy to portray, but to use your passion and pain to portray the ecstasy and joy and magnificence of our world, no one had ever done it before. Perhaps no one ever will again. To my mind, that strange, wild man who roamed the fields of Provence was not only the world's greatest artist, but also one of the greatest men who ever lived.
That line defined the episode, and basically,
tears.
if you don't go into this as like a Vincent Van Gogh fan, and you're just like, I don't understand. That line explains everything to me.
Yeah, and then while he's saying that, it keeps cutting to Tony Curran as Vincent just
red
sobbing,
eyes
and like
about
increasingly
to,
more.
He's,
emotional.
He's got the Wilf eyes.
Right.
He's got the Wilf eyes going.
So I watched this the first time by myself and just cried at that scene. And then I watched it again with Cody. I was like, yeah, I'm over it. Nope, wasn't over it. Cried again.
At bowling last week, I think Cody was like, Sam almost cried. Or Sam said she almost cried. And I was just thinking, almost?
I did.
What kind of monsters are you?
I was crying by myself in the living room watching Doctor Who.
Nice. Eating popcorn just handfuls at a time.
So it's not only the hide behind the couch moments, it's the grabbing the tissue moments.
The whole reason I started this podcast like was for us to talk about the emotion of the stories, and then you know, two episodes in, I realized that was never going to happen with you people. So I was like, okay, we'll just do Goose then. Sam, you had some?
Well, I see every life is a pile of good things and bad things. Hey,
good things. Don't always soften the bad things, but vice versa. The bad things don't necessarily spoil the good things or make them unimportant. And we definitely added to his pile of good things.
I was really close to typing that one up, but I already have like 9, so I decided not to.
And then we already talked about this, but the scene where they reenact the Starry Night painting.
Yeah.
And he says, look at the sky.
Look at the sky. It's not dark and black and without character. The black is in fact deep blue. And over there, lighter blue. And blowing through the blueness and the blackness, the wind swirling through the air, and then shining, burning, bursting through the stars. Can you see how they roar their light? Everywhere we look, complex magic of nature blazes before our eyes.
And just the way his like imagination works and forms all of that. Mm-hmm.
Were there any like real historical quotes that they pulled this stuff from, or were they just kind of guessing how he talked? Because that was really good.
And then here's your line, Jake. Or Alex? I think it was Jake. Is this how time normally passes? Really slowly and in the right order.
That's so good.
I have a couple. When the doctor runs into the TARDIS to grab his gadget that can see the Crephasis. I hate the gadget itself, but I like this line. I think Matt's really good at it.
Right, you're in here somewhere. I can't apologize enough. I thought you were just a useless gadget. I thought you were just an embarrassing present from a dull godmother with two heads and bad breath. Twice.
Savage.
And then when the doctor runs into the church because they see the Crephasis, he says, turns to Amy and says, don't follow me under any circumstances.
Oh, right.
And then Vincent says, will you follow him? And Amy says, of course. And then Vincent goes, I love you. Like, I wrote it, I literally lolled.
Yeah, literally lolled.
And the look he gives just, Amy, just like,
I love you.
Yes.
I want to be with you. I love you.
Just lets it rip.
I love you so much.
Make ultimate ginges.
When they're in the church and Vincent is fending off the Crephasis with a chair, the doctor points a screwdriver at it and then asks Vincent, does this do anything? And Vincent says no. And he does that twice. He's like, how about now? And what? And then
I think he actually enjoys it.
Yeah.
And then the doctor goes, ooh.
But after that, he says, in the future, I'm definitely just using the screwdriver for screwing in screws.
That's right.
That is a lie. He never uses it.
That does not happen.
Oh, that's funny.
Then one last one. I can't remember exactly where this was, but somewhere around there, because I wrote these in order.
I am ready, stupid.
Oh, get a grip. This is not a moment to reevaluate your self-esteem.
That's the Amy that I know. That's the Amy right there.
Yeah, that's the one from last one where... Rory's like, I thought I lost you. And Amy goes, you're so clingy. Yeah.
Just dropping the shade.
All right, vote, Sam.
I think I'm going to go with the line where he's explaining Starry Night just because it was emotionally touching. It was great.
Cody.
Bill Nighy's monologue.
Jill.
Same.
Alex.
Ooh.
I got to go with the monologue.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
It was good.
It's so good. It is the glue that binds us.
I think I just have to go with the other one because Van Gogh was... I just loved him so much. I had to do hit like him.
I loved all of them, but that one.
And if you look at his IMDb, like he's not like a big deal. No one like gave him a show or he's really just kind of like one episode of a show here, one episode there.
Which maybe he's just like... He hates auditions. He's selective. He's bad at auditions.
Well, I'm sure he's just like a very... he's probably a well-respected stage actor, which most of
yes, yeah.
He seemed like he was an actor from plays. Like, the way he came across was very play-esque.
Thespian-like.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it.
See, my biggest concern for quotes was, once again, we'd always go in and be like, oh, where's the next Doctor pun? And this episode was, like, rife with... everything else that I was looking for in a quote.
Right.
There's 100 of them.
They're all good.
Mm-hmm. And I do always try to find one that's not just a joke, but sometimes they're all just jokes.
All the best ones are just jokes.
Time to play. Guess what happens next episode?
Yay!
Or guess what the next episode is.
I love this.
Amy dies.
I feel like it's all downhill from here.
Uh-oh. I mean, no.
Can't get better.
There's only one way this can go downhill.
It's like my fourth favorite episode of this season.
Oh, wait.
The one we just watched.
Yeah, but you also didn't put it in your top 10 overall, and this is my number one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't put it in my top 10 overall. I wouldn't I wouldn't put it in my top 3 of this season we're currently watching, but you haven't seen the rest of the season yet.
How many episodes do we have left in this season?
2.
What?
There's this next one, and then there's a two-part finale.
What?
Jesus.
So 3 and episodes, 2 stories.
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
No?
No.
No?
Okay, so this next one's written by Gareth Roberts, who may or may not be a transphobe. He's previously written The Shakespeare Code, Unicorn and the Wasp, and co-wrote Planet of the Dead with Russell T. Davies.
Wait, what was the last one he wrote?
Planet of the Dead.
Okay.
They need to stop using, like, death and dead and planet. Because
it gets used a lot.
Yeah. I don't know what story they're talking about.
All right, the name of this story is The Lodger, which isn't a word we use. So think of it
like
as
L-O-D-G-E-R.
So think of it as the renter or the tenant.
Like David Tennant coming back. The Lodger. Okay.
When you said Lodger, I just thought of like a log cabin.
Yeah, what's a famous...
Which is exactly what Americans would think when you say The Lodger.
I've been watching a lot of Parks and Rec, so I'm picturing Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not Ron Swanson, but that would be fun.
You're correct in that guess that it's not Ron
Swanson.
That
would be so fun, the Doctor and Ron Swanson together.
So this writer has done like historical pieces, like the Agatha Christie and the... What was the other one?
Shakespeare Code.
Yeah.
So he was obsessed with Shakespeare, so RTD grabbed him to write that because he knew that's what he wanted to do. And then RTD is obsessed with Agatha Christie, so he said, write a story, and then I'm going to plug in a shit ton of Agatha Christie stuff, so it's going to be mostly mine anyway. And then Planet of the Dead they did together.
I think we go into the future.
Okay.
Ooh.
How far?
So far.
Because we just did one that was 10 years in the future, and then this one was 120 years in the past.
Like, I'm trying to think. Was it 2 episodes ago? There was talk of, like, end-of-timey stuff.
End-of-timey-wimey stuff?
Yeah.
So are you saying Earth?
Maybe a lodger somewhere not Earth. That'd be
fun. No, it's Earth.
Rory has to come back Earths before the finale.
Yeah.
Or maybe Rory's he comes dead. Back in the finale. No, he's got to come back.
But there's 2 episodes left, so like we have to have some setup here.
Yeah.
So it has
something about
something
the crack.
With the crack.
Yeah.
So maybe like the lodger or maybe this crack.
Wherever that's taking place.
Is like there's a crack at I fucking hate the segment. Can we please stop doing the segment? My brain can't take it.
They didn't
You're the only one that hates it.
Did they do crack stuff last episode?
This one, no.
Nothing. None in this and none in Amy's Choice.
So
what was the last one? Oh, the last one is the one where the crack ate Rory. So it appeared.
That was Amy's.
Oh, that's right.
No, that was.
No, it wasn't. So this Amy's one choice. They didn't have any crack.
Blood or
no crack.
Okay.
I
crack's
think
coming back.
The crack is back.
There,
the
it's,
crack came back.
The only thing that I can really even come up with is they're in the future, and the TARDIS needs to like do something before it can take them to their next adventure. And
which
then they're at this hotel, and there's a crack there, and they investigate it, and then things get real dicey.
So they're in a hotel.
Well,
they're renting a hotel like rest.
It's a lodge, and they're not renting
it. I gave you the other words to get away from lodge, because when we hear the word lodger, that's what we think
of. Oh, it's not supposed to be that. So what are we supposed to think of?
Renter.
Renter or tenant.
Oh, like David.
Like the.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
And start all over again.
So getting a hotel room is different from renting an apartment. So that's the difference.
Like, okay. So
who's renting?
The Patient Zero.
Oh, one more hint.
Prisoner Zero.
It's the Companion Light episode.
The doctor goes to get Rory back.
From what?
From what?
The crack.
He doesn't exist anymore.
No, he is in the crack. He's a tenant
of the crack.
Ooh.
Jill, is your phone telling you what it's about?
I hate this one so much. I cannot. I can't even be creative.
This one's really hard.
Sometimes I really get nothing.
It's like a one word.
It's better when it's
a
nothing line because you guys are just supposed to make a story.
Yeah. No. I can't make a story off of.
You do it all the time.
A renter.
I'm going future, not the Earth. Like an asteroid?
So like giant luxury hotel on an asteroid in the future. There's a crack. Doctor jumps in to go find Rory. Amy just parties in the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Amy is the down payment for the...
Ooh.
She's the collateral.
And Doctor Who was canceled.
Amy's on a downward spiral, as I said earlier. So I feel like she's...
What is she spiraling downwards towards?
Finding out about Rory.
Heroin?
Probably.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the best for her.
She's slowly going insane.
Insane in the membrane.
Well, when you say some shit like that, there's no impact anymore.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's no impact in the first place because we couldn't hear you.
Well, I could hear me.
I think, is this a Dr. Heavy episode? Have you shared
it's
that?
Well,
it has to be Dr. Heavy because it's Companion Light.
It's the Companion Light episode.
There's no real Dr.
Light episode this season, but there are episodes where there's a lot of Amy and Rory together. So you can think like the doctor could have run off and done some of this during that time.
All right, that's it. Asteroid, hotel, crack.
Rory.
Amy is collateral.
You're sticking with that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alex, paper cup of these up. This has been Mary to Who's episode on Vincent the Doctor. If you'd like to participate with us through social medias, you can follow us on Twitter, Mary to Who Pod, or on Instagram at Mary to Who, or you can email us, marytowho@gmail.com. On behalf of myself, Jake, and Alex, Jill, Cody, and Sam, thank you for listening. Please join us next time for The Lodger.